So, talent management strategy involves these few steps. So, how do you build a great talent management strategy? So, these are the criteria that you need to keep in mind. We spoke about this earlier, that how do you a great criteria to have SHRM in place. Defining who's covered under the talent management program. Now, you need to understand, remember we spoke about are we talking about a particular category of people or are we talking about making it inclusive, right? So, defining who's covered under the talent management. Are we looking at a particular sector of people, category of people, resources, or are we looking at the organization as a whole? Okay, so you need to understand that. Defining the meaning of talent with respect to requisite competencies and potential. Okay, so you need to define the meaning of talent. So as if you remember, recall the first chapter, a lot of definitions were saying that, a lot of organizations call, as a lot of experts call only senior leaders as talent. Okay, you need to define the meaning of talent for your organization. Okay, with respect to the competencies and the potential requirement. Define the strategic talent needs of the organization. Okay, define the talent, the strategic needs with respect to the goals of the organization. Okay, so if the goal of the organization is this, what is it that we require right now? Developing the employment brand of the organization as an employer of choice or a great place to work. So this is something that all organizations are, most of the last or large organizations with substantial budget are working towards being the employer brand or building their employer of choice brand. So they want to attract the right person. They want to build credibility of their position as an employer in the industrial standards. Using hiring methods that ensure high quality recruits with high levels of stability and inclination to stay with organization for substantial amount of time. Okay, so this is very, very key method of hiring that, ensures high quality. That whoever you recruit very, very high quality with high levels of stability. You ensure your process of screening and selection is so stringent that you only bring in the right candidate for the right person, ensuring that they have stability in their employment and their natural inclination to stay within the organization for some amount of time. Talent management strategy also involves designing the jobs and the roles which provides people with opportunities for application of their skills, knowledge, and attributes that they bring along. Okay, and also the design roles which provides them autonomy, which provides them with interest, and they also see regular challenges. They do not get monotonous by the regular routine job. So, the talent management strategy involves about all these, involves designing jobs and roles pertaining to these, providing talent with career development growth opportunities, and create an environment of conducive designing and developing rewarding jobs and roles. Here, I would like lay a little stress over here because this is very, very important. Unless and until when you join an organization, unless and until you realize your career there, unless and until you feel that there is growth opportunities available to you, and you see that there is substantial amount of time which is to grow for me to reach the position, which is the probably the unit head. So there's many, so I can craft my career path accordingly. Say, for example, I have joined as a as an assistant, as a management trainee, became an assistant manager, then become a manager, senior manager, vice president, and vice president is supposed to be the unit head. Okay, fine. So maybe, 6 years, 7 years down the line, I should be able to reach that position. Or maybe 3 years down the line, I should reach that position. So you can craft your own strategy, create your milestones, and enjoy each milestone if you see there is a growth opportunity. If you see that you have almost accomplished 8 years and you still have grown only one position from where you have joined. So you see very, very limited resources for you to grow. So that's where you will have to. So hence, providing career development and growth opportunities to the candidate, to the employee who joins in, or to the new joiner who joins in, is very, very important and critical. and aiding people in striking a reasonable work-life balance. See, this only challenging opportunity, too much of responsibilities, all of that is, yes, important, you know, growth opportunities, all of that is important, but at the same time, not at the cost of sacrificing your work-life balance. You will also, the expectation will also be around the work-life balance as well. Is that, you know, you need to get your requisite sleep, you need to get your requisite amount of time for your family, for your own development, all of that. So which will strike a balance, you know, for your work life. And develop a positive psychological contract. So which is very, very important. If you have a positive psychological contract and positive psychological expression and impression about the company, that's where you go out and talk about the and spread the word about the company. That's where you become the employee of an employer of choice. You become an employee of choice and you spread that word and you attract a lot of you know, resources who are through your word of mouth that comes into the organization as a talent. It also involves with building the leadership capabilities of managers. So leadership skills are and capabilities are built over a period of time of the managers. When the manager joins in, he goes through subsequent trainings, interventions, also at the same time some coaching, some mentoring in place, and they get exposed to certain projects which actually highlight their and which helps them to utilize their leadership skills. Recognize talent by rewarding excellence, enterprise and achievement. This is very, very important. You need to recognize the talent on time and on time reward and excellence, on time reward for excellence that they bring into their jobs. That's very, very important. There are organizations where, you know, there are rewards and recognitions in place, but it happens annually once in a year. And the person has got the achievement in, say, February, you have given him, you know, the team has been nominated as supposed to be the highest converter in the business. But then, you know, you are getting felicitated only by the end of the year, which is by December or maybe January. Okay, so it's of no value then. So hence, on-time recognition of talent and rewarding is required. Ensuring conduction of regular talent audits. Regular talent audits. What do you mean by that? Regular progress monitoring, regular updates on what skills have been currently possessed by their teams and what is it that is required by the market. So regular conduction of that. Introducing succession planning procedures. Explain what the succession planning model that you have and procedures that are related and managed so that management are able to relate to the activities that you administer. Okay, so it should not be one of, you know, HR intervention or HR initiative that has been driven just like other. So it has to be owned by the line as well. So if you introduce succession planning procedures and related management development, you need to be in line with the business strategy, with the overall business strategy. And you have to do, you know, requisite training also for them. They need to understand the process very well before they embark on it. So how do you actually build a talent strategy, talent management strategy? These are some of the aspects that you can relate to committed leadership and HR function. You know, the leadership and the HR working completely hand in hand. Okay, so you have committed, you have agreement from the leadership as well and the HR function. So whatever you do in the organization is a committed effort of the leadership team and the HR team. Mindset of treating talent development as a key element of the business strategy. Do not think that the training is one of cases. We have discussed this in the first chapter also. Please consider, you need to consider, the organization needs to consider the talent development, which means training and development, as a key element of the business strategy and not different from it. Not a one-off audit or one-off exercise. Complete clarity about the competencies and the qualities that matter. Depending on the business imperatives that you would have an understanding on, you need to bring in the clarity about the, so if you have this as a business imperative, what are the competencies and the qualities that are required from the resources. High focus on well-defined career paths for key talent. Key career paths and needs to be focused, and career track, career path and career plan for the next 2 years, 3 years, because the high potentials will always come with these expectations in their mind. The moment they join the organization, they want to see what is their career path for the next 3 years. What is it that has been crafted by the organization and how do I live by that? Coaching and mentoring approach, continuous coaching, continuous hand-holding by their leaders, and could be reverse mentoring also. It's a lot of organizations who are doing, especially for the median-aged employees, they are getting reversed mentoring by the new-aged employees because of the fact that they are so cognizant about and so aware about the technologies, they are doing reverse mentoring to their senior leaders. High demand on emphasis on high performance. That's obvious. That's very, very obvious. So, you need to demand and emphasize on the performance all the time, not like the routine work, not a three grader is fine. You should always encourage people to achieve, to aspire to be a four or a five all the time. Some of the ways in which a manager can motivate and retain employees. These are some of the ways you can do a job rotation. You can provide with different opportunities. You ensure that you maintain the, help them maintain their individual identity and they are not expected to change themselves. Recognition and reward, rewards and recognition, on-time reward and recognition. Succession planning, you show the growth path, saying that, today is what you're already a ready candidate and tomorrow this position comes vacant. I will make sure that, I send you to this. From the pool, I pick you up and I put you on this role. So succession planning, flexibility in terms of the role, relationship management and self-motivation. So these are some of the talent management initiatives that the manager can undertake to retain and motivate the teams or the employees. There are many best practices in the organizations. One such example is your experiential learning. Experiential learning is an engaged learning process whereby, students or, the employees actually learn by doing. You experience it and by reflecting it on the experience. You get exposed to a particular project. They are also called as action learning, where you are given, opportunities to experience. For example, you have joined as an operations manager. Okay, for this first 1 month to understand, there are a lot of loopholes in the operations department and then you've been brought in from the competition and you've been told that you need to give us the analytics around what is going on, what are the good things that is happening, what are the certain challenges that are happening, and why is it that we are having so much of gap between the sales numbers and the optimization of sales or the conversion of sales. What you do is your organization gives you a opportunity to kind of go through a complete experiential learning under the department, just be one amongst the operations team and learn the whole process in the next 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks and come back with your experience. And this is a highly engaged activity, whether it is engagement of intellectual, whether it is to creative in engagement. It talk about emotionally connecting with the team, socially, physically, in every aspect you get to experience the whole learning from it. So you get a lot of insights from it and you come back with a huge report and saying that this is what I experienced in the last 4 weeks, right? So this is called as your experiential learning. Second is your mentoring. Again, as I said, mentoring can be either way. It can be top down or it can be bottom up as well. For newly joined spare talent, for being comfortable onboarding and weaving the person into organization culture. This is what has been the motive behind mentoring. That when you join the organization, there is an existing employee who has been assigned as a buddy or a mentor for you. Okay, and then he makes sure that he ensures that the first day when you join, you had people. He has taken you and introduced to the team. He makes sure that you had lunch along with the team and you told him what all are the things that he should know in the organization. You told him about the logistics and the infrastructure in place. It may help keeping talent engaged and also avoid early job hopping. So the person does not become, the new joiner does not become lost there because you have a mentor assigned. And I know of such an organization, which was my client, and they had this whole process of 6 months, as I told you earlier. It was a manufacturing company and they have this whole process of mentoring and the buddy process for 6 months. Till 6 months, this person is responsible to ensure that the new joiner gets a great experience, employee experience. So and after 6 months, when he signs his he gets his confirmation letter, that's when his responsibility comes to an end. But however, this is an ongoing relationship. So that's how mentoring is looked at in different organizations. Then is your focus on business. So organizations understand their biggest competitive advantage comes from the kind of people that they have. Hence, they are the greatest assets to the business. We have been talking about it, that they are the ones who are the greatest assets to the business, and hence so much of intervention, so much of cost and investment takes place in an organization towards its people. You need to ensure that organization talent management, one of the practices is ensuring skill alignment of the talent. Okay, you might be best out with best of the skills to yourself. Okay, but however, the organization needs something else which is over and above or maybe not in line with what your skill sets are. Okay, so hence one of the greatest tasks faced by the talent management is matching the right people with the right skills. You may have, as I said, you might have best of the skills which are, you know, which are very, very relevant in today's date. Okay, but however, it is not relevant to the role that you have taken up. So hence it could be a misfit. So right people, so matching the right people with the right skills and systematically identifying the competencies of their talent. So hence the competencies needs to be identified and clubbed as per the role. So you need to deploy the roles as per the competencies that has been identified and which should be linked with the business imperatives. Another best practices is building leadership. So organizations are highly focused on developing future leaders from within. Most organization, if you ask, if you do a survey also, you will see a much more higher rating to develop the preference for developing leaders from within vis-a-vis bringing in a leader from outside. It helps in many factors, actually. If you bring a leader from outside, he might not be a culture fit to you. He might be a threat to some people who are already there for a longer duration in the organization. He might have, himself might not be very conducive to the team that is existent, and he might require his own team. So there will be a rejig of the entire team within the within the unit can happen. So hence, for all these factors, most of the leaders who are existing there or the whole organization will always prefer to develop leaders from within who already possesses a shared vision about the company and can actually empower the talent. And when you empower the talent, there is a growth realization by the different employees within the organization. And there is a opportunity for the organization to become the employer of choice. That there is a growth perspective, there is a tremendous career path which is getting realized over a period of time. So there is a lot of positive word of mouth and positive psychology which is built around. Focus on employee feedback. This is again one of the critical measures. Lot of organizations do not bother about it, but it is very, very critical. Employee feedback is a very, very effective tool in providing valuable insights like into several aspects of the organizations, just like, you know, the culture. As I meant in the next few chapters, you will come to know that, you know, organizational culture is what you actually feel. You may shout with your lungs out, but unless and until the employee comes and actually experiences it and feels it, you cannot call it as a culture. You cannot call it to be a culture. Okay, so culture has to be experienced. The working conditions, development programs that you do, rewards and recognition processes that you have, the way the supervision, the way the managerial monitoring happens, all of this is the insights can be gathered through employee feedback. Some of the examples of employee feedback gathering would be survey feedback, which could be anonymous, And if you make it anonymous, it is very, very obvious that you get the right scores. It could be exit interviews. There are different levels of employee feedback that it can be gathered. High level of involvement of the top management. Okay, continuous interaction and commitment from the senior management is imperative for an effective talent management strategy. This is very, very critical again. And it does not happen in every organization, and it's not designed to be like that. And but it's good. It's really, really look. I mean, people look at as a growth mindset organization where you have your top management communicating with the changes, with the different strategic plans that they would have, and there is a continuous interaction between the senior management and the. And the overall organization or the teams downline. So that is that brings in a better talent management strategy. High level of involvement of top management, a continuous interaction and commitment from senior management is imperative. We have spoken to build a return on investment culture for HR function. This is very critical. Focus on the ROI, return on investment, for every interventions that you take. So focus on the ROI can revolutionize and transform the HR function. Don't you think so? If you continuously for all your initiatives that you do, if you can just show the ROI on it, it can be wow. You know, it can bring in the wow factor for the HR department as a whole, bringing a greater value to the organization because it completely looked at as a value that we have spent this much and this is what we did get in return. It also helps in comparing interdepartmental returns. You become almost like a business unit. You know, you're comparable with any revenue generating department, and that's how it's looked at. So it's looked as if you're a business cost center. You know, so hence focus on ROI culture for HR function is one of the great practices. Create teams comprising of HR, IT and line managers to own and manage the talent management process. You cannot, otherwise it will be just lying on the shoulders of the HR if you completely do it in isolation and take the entire burden on yourself. Create an integrated process so that the entire business and the downline and the whole organization becomes the custodian of driving talent management. So such a team will bring multiple perspectives. It will have different viewpoints. It will have different perspectives. It will have better buying in from the senior leaders because everybody is talking. It's not only talking from only one HR and human relations lens. It is also talking from the technology point of view. It is also talking from the business point of view, from the field point of view. So hence, the whole initiative very becomes very, very collaborative and becomes co-created so that we bring in better results. Then comes your one of the best practices, long range plans. There's a strong need for organizations to ensure that long term planning is done to build an understanding of where it is heading, where your direction is, where your company's or organization's direction is now, the kind of talent that we require for that, the kind of competencies that the talent should have, and the total number of employees that are required skill-wise. Okay, so this is your long-range plans. That this, having the vision or having the end in mind, what is it that we require in terms of talent, in terms of their competencies, in terms of the number of jobs that could be created, total number of employees that we can fit in, what number of employees require, what level of skills, skill-wise bifurcation of employees, all of this is your long-range plan. Review mechanisms. These are evaluation methods that change in strategies, and it also anticipates internal and external threats and opportunities. So it does not only mean that reviewing what is happening externally, reviewing also what is happening internally. Internally also there could be a lot of changes that we might overlook. We might just not put so much of focus on. You know, maybe it requires course corrections. Maybe it requires some process change. Maybe it is not conducive to the way the customers operate today. We might relook at the processes. Many companies build competency frameworks and never review them. This is one of the examples. I have seen so many people. I have done a couple of competency frameworks for a few clients, but I don't think, because I know I have done the project through a referral, and that referral tells me that, you know, I don't think after you have put it and, you know, presented and handed it over and gone, we must have visited only maybe once or twice, and we never really had time to look at it. Okay, so this is how it works. So many companies build processes and frameworks, and they never review them. This leads to their ineffectiveness in managing the talent. So if you completely overlook your competency framework and you just operate from just one competency angle, saying that, you know, everybody should be effective, or probably everybody should be competent enough in planning and organizing. If you just work with a competency org-wide, it may not work. Role-wise, bifurcation of competency, and for that you need to create the complete competency framework level-wise. Another best practices is developing a talent mindset. How do you do that? Managers across all the levels of the organization should have a talent mindset, and because that will drive them to participate in the hiring process, in engaging the talent, and also subsequently develop them as per the need of the business, as per the need of their role, as per the need of the unit. Integrating all talent management sub-processes. Now, this initiative is undertaken to recruit, to select, to onboard, to engage, to guide, to develop, to retain and reward talent. This needs to be integrated with one another. They should not be standalone interventions in isolation working. So everything should be interwoven together. All talent management sub-processes needs to be, integrated with each other. It should not talk. Everybody ultimately should talk to the business imperatives of the organization. Challenges faced in talent management. So now, what are the different challenges that we face? Now, hiring and retaining sufficient talent across levels to satisfy the requirement of organic and inorganic growth. So this is an ongoing battle which organizations face. Hiring, developing the people, the resource to a certain level, the resource working in the role for a while, and then suddenly, making it a vacant by choosing to join somewhere else. So it impacts the requirements of the organic and the inorganic growth that happens within the organization. So organizations could expand in numbers of employees. All of that happens, but still they face the talent crunch. Every time, any organization that you go to, any organization that you speak with, you'll find there is a talent crunch. There is some shortage of talent. Nobody says, not a single organization says that, we have enough on the talent. Because one talent, once you accomplish that, you get, you see there is another threat in the market which is around. So you need to fill the gap there. So developing employee experiences appealing to diverse age groups also is very, very important. So we need to, this is a challenge that is hitting us from all sides, actually, as we have been mentioning about this for a while now, that diverse age groups and diverse profiles of people are actually disrupting. So these diverse groups have diverse requirements, whether it talks about, you talk about the kind of requirement emotionally, the kind of requirement in terms of infrastructure, in terms of their ideas and their preferences, this will lead for a need to build diverse value propositions. So you cannot have one employee value proposition. You will have to work on diverse value propositions, projected as and when it requires, okay, within the same setup. You are going to a campus interview, you are going to recruit, say you have a plan of, if you find it all right, from one X college, you will go and pick up 5 management trainees. You will have to create your value proposition according to that. For example, you are working on the diversity, so you are going to a college, women's college, and you are making sure that you're ensuring that all 5 employees that you're looking at, 5 management trainees that you're looking at, have to be female. Okay, so you have to be very, very particular. So you cannot do that when you go to a co-ed colleges. Then you again have to be moving to a, particularly women's college, where you want to pick up those diverse profiles. So those are the kind of value propositions that you have to create as and when, as per the requirement of the situation within the same setup. Another challenge is developing a robust leadership pipeline. So this is again faced by many, and this is critical as an internally grown managers understand the needs of the organization much more better than the hiring new laterals or new managers from outside. As I mentioned this earlier point, that you know you will have people coming in from various culture diversity. People will come with different kinds of baggages in their minds. They will have different values. To imbibe your values, it will take some time. So instead, if you can build your pipeline within so strong, and you'll be, you know, you would be able to cater to the needs of the gaps which are happening as and when, that will be great. So so this is again a challenge that that is faced in talent management. Determining the global leadership capabilities of people. Again, it is straightforward to identify and assess people in specific function or technical areas. It's very, very straight-jacketed approach, and you take a few cognitive ability tests, few situation analysis tests, and you have the right person for the right job. But it's much more difficult when they possess the people skills, leadership dynamism, business acumen, and global diversity sensibilities. So these are some of the competencies which you will probably find it very, very challenging to administer because of the fact that they're very, very diverse in nature, and at the same time they're all over the place, they're very scattered, right? So it becomes a specific functional or technical areas, it's fine. But when it comes to the people skills, the leadership skills, the business acumen, all of that, you have to do multiple assessments, to put multiple battery of assessments have to be done, to be taken. Hence a lot of people prefer building the pipeline from within, or and sometimes what happens if you do not have a job, the organization straight away takes people from references, because then they kind of get a sense of having a right person because of the reference being there. Transferring key knowledge and relationships. How do you do that? Organizations, particularly those with business dependent largely on knowledge and relationship management, face this challenge of transferring both from retiring employee population to upcoming one. So here the search is on, the constant requirement of having the knowledge gap, bridging the knowledge gap is in place all the time. You will see this. Okay, so especially in a consulting company, this kind of a scenario happens, because the moment there is a knowledge crunch, there's a gap in the knowledge, to find that replacement, it becomes very, very difficult. Okay, so hence the challenge of transferring both from, you know, either it happens through retirement or the person, you know, chooses to join somewhere else, you face equal challenge. Retention of middle management talent. How do you do that? Now, what happens here? Organizations face a big threat of exodus of mid-career talent. Can you relate to this? Because especially when you graduate on a role for a while, and the organization has heavily invested to create a future leadership talent pipeline. Okay, so hence that's where you feel a lot of people find find it very challenging to kind of do a transition in their mid-career stage. So the learning ability also becomes a question here. Okay, so that's where you find this challenge, where organization is willing to, because you have graduated in the role, and you have already spent some time over there, and you have invested heavily to be able to create a future talent pipeline. And but to retain this after this resource has been trained and all of that, to retain this, it's one and a big humongous task for HR. for the talent management as a whole or for the organization as a whole. Because the moment he gets trained, the moment he gets, because this is the time when you become a specialist or a little more than specialist. Okay, you at the stage of specialist, from transition phase from specialist to a people manager's role. Okay, so you're transitioning from that. So hence, it becomes very difficult to retain this level of talent. Encouraging second careers and getting rid of age prejudices. Okay, again continues to be some challenges which gets posed in front of us. Progressive organizations are welcoming back the older talent in the workforce. Okay, so the older talent meaning who have already worked. So, for example, there's a girl who was working and she got married and she was very, very potential, but very, very young at the same time, having worked in the organization for 4-5 years, got married and went her family way. Hence, couldn't have kept the job alive, and hence she decided to quit because of raising the child up. Now the child has become 4 years old and she's, competent enough to get back to work. So some organizations have, like, for example, I know Tata's come back. I don't know what it is called as, but I think Deloitte has it. A couple of brands I know has got this second career, second innings in place, so where, you invite all the ex-employees to come back and rejoin you. So these are some of the challenges. And so these are some of the better things that the organizations are doing. Transforming the norm of short tenure and frequent shifts. Okay. How does this happen? So retaining the talent for minimum of 3 years. This will add to future organizational growth. If you say that, if you are able to retain in today's date, if you are able to retain the resource for at least 3 years, it's a great boost to the organizational growth. Now, shifting the whole mindset of certain leaders, senior leaders, from buying the talent from outside to buying talent strategy, build talent strategy. This is a biggest challenge that is posed in front of the senior leaders. I have seen this. I have experienced this myself. The moment they see that, there is somebody who is struggling to achieve the targets regularly, and he needs a little coaching and he needs a little hand holding to be able to go to the next level. And over a talent who's there ready to join you outside, he works with the competition and he can straight away come and conquer those kind of targets which are there. So the senior leaders in most organizations will prefer the latter one because of the fact that he does not have to spend time over him. He is directly from the competition. He will come and straight away get the same business what he has been doing there. Okay, whereas this person has grown only to this position in terms internally, and I have to handhold him because he's new to the role. He has to really, I have to really put in a lot of inputs, lot of coaching that I have to build around him to be able to take him to the next level. So hence, some managers will always have this mindset. Hence, the shift of this mindset from buying talent to build talent will definitely help. Thank you so much.